Good morning, everyone. My name is Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating 26 years since 1992. The Healthy Habit, where we help you step-by-step with personal service all life long. Our topic today is aquatic greens and their unique health benefits. And our guest today is Nelson Narciso. Nelson has more than 20 years experience as a holistic nutritionist, herbalist, and is currently the Director of Education at Progressive Nutritional Therapies. Nelson, welcome back to Insights for Health.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. So aquatic greens, can we first start our show here by talking about the land greens? And just that over the last 60 years or so, seems that agricultural practices have greatly reduced the nutritional quality of our foods. So, Nelson, how is that happening, and what's depleting our foods?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and that's something that's been an area of a lot of research for quite a number of years. What we're seeing is that, unfortunately, as a result of the use of fertilizers, chemical fertilizers, pesticides, the effect that those chemicals have on our soil microbes, and those microbes, just like the microbes in our gut, help us improve absorption of nutrients, those microbes in the soil also improve nutrient absorption through the roots. Lack of crop rotation, all of these things we've seen over the years deplete our soils. And I always use the analogy, it's like a bank account. If every year you were to deposit, say, let's say $10, but every year you withdrew 20, even if you had a pretty healthy starting balance, you'd eventually bankrupt yourself. And we're effectively doing that to our soil. We're depleting it. We're bankrupting our soil.
And the fertilizers just aren't replacing it.
Well, no, because fertilizers don't have all of those trace elements. I mean, you know, most fertilizers contain nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. But what about zinc and copper and iodine and manganese and strontium and boron and molybdenum and vanadium? And the list goes on. These other minerals are also relevant and important to our health.
Now, you had an example about peaches.
Yeah, there's an interesting report that came out in Canada some years ago. In fact, it got quite a bit of news coverage where they looked at the vitamin A content of peaches, and they went back to 1951 to look at sort of data on how much vitamin A was there. And they found that if a woman consumed two peaches back then, she would have achieved her full day supply of vitamin A, known as the recommended daily allowance for vitamin A.
Yep.
They then looked at the amount of vitamin A in peaches in 1999 and found to get the same quantity, you'd have to consume a whopping 53 peaches.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a 25-fold increase. That's staggering.
Yeah, and I remember reading a study on apples. There was an 80-year gap between two different studies, and I can't recall the variety, but magnesium content went from 28 milligrams in the first 80 years ago plus to down to 5 milligrams. So it seems to be across the board.
It is. In fact, I in a presentation I do on this very topic, I provide about at least 10 different studies that suggest that whether you're looking at in Canada or the U.S. or Europe, we're seeing this trend that for the last 60, 70 years, frankly, governments have been keeping a record of the nutrient content of various foods, you know, foods, for example, vegetables,
yeah,
fruits, grains, et cetera, for decades now. So we can kind of look at, you know, where are we at now relative to where we were, say, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And it's not looking very nice.
So now looking at that, and then now looking over at aquatic plants, it seems that the global nutritional community seems to be focusing some attention there.
Yeah, and for good reason. Unlike the terrestrial plants that we're talking about, just talked about a moment ago, these aquatic plants, these sea vegetables, are extremely rich in these nutrients that are normally depleted from our soils. And we've seen this in studies. In fact, there's a really great study quote that I'm going to read. It just says that trace elements and minerals are abundant in seaweeds compared to terrestrial foodstuffs. What we're seeing is that the nutrient content of seaweeds is been sustained. In fact, because of all that volcanic activity that happens in the oceans, and those volcanoes are releasing all these minerals from deep within the earth, the mineral content of the oceans is just remarkable, and those sea vegetables take those up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how does the sea stay fertilized or sustained with these minerals? But you're saying it's through the volcanic activity that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, it's the volcanic activity. It's also just the, you know, once again, a lot of these sea vegetables aren't being harvested, certainly not the way we're harvesting land-based vegetables.
Yeah.
So they decompose and release those nutrients back into the soil, back into the ocean, rather. But if you look at, you know, we always talk about, let's have, for example, a sea salt as opposed to your iodized table salt, sodium chloride that's manufactured. Why do people often go for sea salt? Well, if you look at the mineral content of sea salt and the trace mineral content, it's certainly superior to just regular sodium and chloride or regular table salt.
Yeah, and there was a graph done in, I think, by the food nutrient density graph over a 13-year time period, and took phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, calcium, sodium, zinc, and copper. And I was just kind of studying that graph, and what I calculated was it's anywhere from 17 to 70% less over those 13 years, whereas the aquatic stayed constant. It didn't dip at all.
That's right. Absolutely. In fact, some might even argue that the mineral content of our oceans are slightly increasing once again because of that constant volcanic activity and all of the deep earth minerals that are being released into the ocean.
So we're, as consumers, we go out, and if we're being proactive, we buy and consume produce. And even though we think we're doing something healthy, we may not be getting everything that we seek.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I mean, you know, a good example of that is broccoli. Like, when you think of broccoli, there are two minerals that come to mind, calcium and iron. And once again, in another report that came out here in Canada, they found the levels of calcium and iron had dropped significantly. So, in broccoli. So what that tells us is that individuals are out there thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be getting, you know, this mineral or this vitamin or this nutrient from these foods because we're being told they're actually quite high in these nutrients. But in actual reality, they might have been quite high, say 50, 60, 70 years ago, but now they're dropping. So when and by all means, do not mistake what I'm saying as being the message being don't consume your fruits and vegetables, etc. Quite
yeah.
the contrary.
Yeah.
You have to almost consume more to make up for some of those differences, but you should be absolutely consuming them. Just recognize they're not likely as nutrient-dense by and large today as they would have been years ago, especially if the soil in which they're grown is not effectively managed.
So edible seaweed has been used globally for hundreds of years, right?
Yeah, in fact, it's been used for millennia. There are records dating back thousands of years showing that, for example, in Asia, Japan more notably, that they've been using seaweeds for thousands of years. So it actually has been part of the human diet for a very, very long time.
So Progressive Organic Veggie Seas, that's the name of the brand of the product, has five aquatic greens. Can we touch on each one of those and maybe talk about what their benefits are?
Absolutely.
So the spirulina is one, but we're going to talk about spirulina a little bit later. Can we start with the nori?
Yeah, absolutely. There's first of all, we've got, as you mentioned, spirulina, but we also have nori, dulse, kombu, and wakame. And what's sort of important about each of these is that, like vegetables, this holds true for sea vegetables as well, sea vegetables have unique benefits that are unique to each of those different sea vegetables. And
yeah.
in fact, that is in part reflected in the color. I mean, if you look at, for example, in the case of nori, it is a red algae. If you look at dulse, same thing, it's a red algae. If you look at wakame and kombu, both of those are brown algaes. And of course, spirulina, which is not a sea vegetable per se, we'll talk about that later, it's a blue-green color. So
yeah.
the notion of color is relevant here. Just like, we hear even governments and health officials talking about eat the rainbow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason for that. Those colors reflect unique phytochemicals and antioxidants and nutrients that provide us with enormous health benefits. And nori is extremely nutrient dense. I mean, one of the things that people often don't realize is that, you know, they think that, okay, you're going to get so much more of certain things from land vegetables. Like, if I think about beta carotene, typically I think about carrots, right? However, nori, we're talking on a gram per gram basis, has almost 2.5 times as much beta carotene as does a carrot. And if you look at a lot of the other nutrients, not just antioxidants, vitamins and minerals, you'll see that trend where nori is extremely nutrient dense and it's extremely high in protein, which once again, often we think of it's the steak, it's the eggs that we associate with protein, but sea vegetables are absolutely loaded with protein as well.
Yeah. And now, what are some of the other benefits? I mean, there's those bioactive compounds, right?
Yes, correct. I mean, the bioactive compounds are pretty exciting because there's, I mean, if you look at, for example, just one that I'll talk about in a bit more detail, and it's called fucoidin. And this one, it's actually a polysaccharide. If you look at this one phytochemical in seaweeds, what's amazing about it, and I should say it's specifically found in this case in the brown one, so the kombu and the wakame, there's been over 800 studies looking at its effects, and its effects are incredible. It's anti-inflammatory, it's antioxidant. Lots of great research looking at its anti-cancer properties. It's been shown to protect against viral infection. It protects against reducing the ability for the virus to attach to the cell, which is sort of step one,
yep.
And even prevents the virus then from as effectively penetrating into the cell, which is how the infection starts. It can help with blood clots. It's called antithrombotic. And what's also interesting are some interesting longevity possibilities with this one compound. You've probably heard of Okinawa, Japan. It's the island. We always talk about how some of the longest-lived people, these centurions, are found on this island. And many are suggesting, and researchers are suggesting, it's probably in part because of all the sea vegetables they consume, and maybe in particular because the fucoidin may have some longevity or, you know, age-defying benefits, if you will.
Now, there's some research, I guess, showing that radiation and chemotherapy patients can benefit from seaweeds.
Yes, absolutely. There's actually another interesting compound in sea vegetables called L-ginic acid, which in fact study was done here in Canada, where it was shown to protect the absorption of radioactive compounds through the intestine. Oftentimes we do hear about things like chlorella spirulina and sea vegetables as having some benefits against protecting against radiation. The only thing that one has to keep in mind that's a bit tricky, though, is, of course, in the case of radiation therapy, you wouldn't want to, if you've chosen to undergo that type of treatment, you wouldn't want to, ultimately, if they're going to do radiation therapy, the idea is radiation is going to kill the cancer cells. What you want is to protect the healthy cells and make the cancer cells more susceptible. We definitely need more research in that area to see where these ingredients can benefit, but there's some exciting and promising research coming out that is going to be, I'm sure, in the next coming years, something we're going to be hearing more and more about.
That sounds good. Nelson, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's pick up our topic on the aquatic greens, and we'll look at the spirulina and the chlorella.
Absolutely.